The next presenter is going to be Dr. Ben Shogan, who is Assistant Professor of Surgery at the University of Chicago, and he's going to talk to us about postoperative ileus and anastomotic leak. Does the intestinal microbiome influence outcome? Dr. Shogan.
Great. Thank you very much for the honor to present here this afternoon. Thanks for Dr. Alverdi for inviting me. Having been Dr. Alverdi's mentee for about a decade now, he's being serious. He wants a stool sample from all you guys. I have no disclosures. I'm one of the colorectal surgeons at University of Chicago, and as we all know that do colorectal surgery or HPV surgery, pretty much any surgery in general, the pathogenesis really of the most common complications remain largely unknown. And if you think about postoperative ileus, we all have those patients where on post-op day one, they're up in the hallway, they're not taking any narcotics, the surgery was done robotically through one incision. But on post-op day two, you see them to say goodbye and they're distended, they're burping, they're vomiting, and you know that they're going to be in the hospital for 4 or 5 days and you just don't really know what happened. For anastomotic leak, similarly, we all have these patients where the anastomosis looks pristine when we leave, but we divert anyway because we're scared and we're not exactly sure why 5 or 15% of those patients are going to leak. Now, preoperative optimization in 2018 really is state of the art. If you think about your patients, they're going to get an echo, they're going to get a stress test, you're going to know their pulmonary function before they go to the operating room. If they have a blood disorder, you might get TEGs, you might do all sorts of stuff. You're going to have a plan for their steroids, you're going to have a plan for their kidney function. But it is absolutely not state of the art to optimize the gut in 2018. And even today, the only GI optimization is this one size fits all bowel prep. The same thing we're doing today that was done 50 years ago. But it works. And there's been a re-interest in using oral antibiotics to a mechanical bowel prep. And over the last couple of years, there's been a handful of studies that have shown that it is beneficial. And in this study from 2015, that has been repeated a bunch of times over the last couple of years, or adding oral antibiotics to a mechanical bowel prep does decrease the incidence of ileus and anastomotic leak. So I think this is very important clinically. It's what we do at our institution. It's probably what a lot of people in the room do at their institution. But I think more importantly, it tells us about the pathogenesis and the fact that antimicrobials decrease the anastomotic leak in ileus rates strongly suggests that these are driven by intestinal microbes. What is even more important is that in this manuscript from 2017, they showed that bowel prep has individualized effects. So we're giving the same thing to everybody, not looking at their microbiome. And this shows that it's different. Patients who are healthy respond differently. Patients who have IBD respond differently. And we just don't know enough yet to individualize that. Now, if you think about your patient that you're seeing in the preoperative clinic, by the time they get to the operating room, there's many, many variables over the continuum of that patient's care that influence that surgical patient's microbiome. They might be anemic, they might be on steroids. If they're undergoing their resection for cancer, they've probably gotten chemoradiotherapy, they're probably obese, they probably smoke. A couple days before surgery, if that's not enough, you're going to starve them. You're going to give them go lightly to clean out their stool. And so they show up in the operating room, maybe with a bad microbiome or maybe a normal one. So we looked at that. This is analysis of the preoperative microbiome in patients undergoing colorectal surgery. Each bar is one individual patient. The different colors represent the composition at the phyla level. And there's two kind of interesting observations. One, all the patients are different. Two is their amount of Bacteroides, which is normally about 60 to 70%. This is considered the good bacteria. It's highlighted there in blue. In many of the patients, it's completely obsolete, or that amount of it is much, much more limited. On the other hand, Firmicutes, which again is supposed to be the bad bacteria, normally present in 25% of patients, you can see in some of these patients, they're showing up where their entire bacterial composition is completely overtaken by Firmicutes. And what this says, very simply but importantly, is that the preoperative microbiome in patients undergoing colorectal surgery is abnormal, just like the heart might be abnormal from a stress test or something like that. Now, when I was a colorectal fellow a couple years ago, we designed a study at the Mayo Clinic under the mentorship of Dr. Nelson, looking at a very simple hypothesis. Despite all the stuff that can happen before the operating room, we wanted to know, does a compositional pattern of the gut microbiota at the time of operation predict postoperative complications in patients undergoing colorectal surgery? We designed a study over a couple of months. We included all patients that were undergoing colon or rectal resection for all indications. I'm showing just a snapshot of this study, but the part that's important is that each patient got a 10-second swab of their distal rectum, either at the time of surgery, right after induction, or on post-op day two in the hospital if they were still present. We followed up for complications, and then we did a pretty standard 16S rRNA microbiota analysis. About 101 patients were included. There are about 300 or so samples in our whole set. We first asked, are compositional changes associated with the development of postoperative complications? And we did. We looked at surgical site infection and anastomotic leak. But what we found is that, and you can see here again by ANOVA analysis, that the bacterial communities from the rectum on post-op day zero or post-op day two were different in patients who developed an ileus compared to patients who did not. And this was not the case for the other complications that we looked at. We did a similar analysis to the previous presentation looking at beta diversity. Here you can see that there is clustering on the microbiomes of patients on post-op day one. Ileus is in red, no ileus is in blue. What was really striking is on post-op day two, there was even a greater difference. It seemed that the patients that were going to develop ileus or that were in the process of developing an ileus had a more significant difference than those that were on post-op day one. And what we concluded, again, is that patients who developed ileus had a significantly different bacterial composition of their rectal associated microbiota on post-op day zero before we even did anything to them, and on post-op day two when they were recovering in the hospital. Does this make any biological sense? Well, most people would say that an ileus is from bowel manipulation leading to an inflammatory infiltrate, causing permeability, smooth muscle impairment, and then decreased motility, all in this related to inflammation of the gut. There was a paper in 2017 that was looking at this. There's been a couple since. They looked at a mouse model of ileus, and when they found that when they removed inflammatory molecules or when they gave antibiotics, they actually decreased ileus or decreased the transit time. They can see there are those two right bars. So when we looked back and we looked at what taxa were different in the patients who had an ileus versus that did not, we did find some, and there was a lot, and I will admit that there were small proportions in the greater whole of the composition that had been associated with acute inflammation in previous studies. So from this work, both looking at the literature as a whole and the work that we did at the Mayo Clinic, is that it seems clear that ileus, at least in part, is driven by intestinal organisms, and further work is really needed to understand the mechanism of bacterial mediated postoperative ileus. What I want to switch now is just talk a little bit about anastomotic leak, because over the last couple of years, we've really been focused on that at the University of Chicago when I was working as a resident in the lab and now back as faculty. And we've been really revolving our studies around really one core a hypothesis that commensal flora can be shifted in composition and function to express a tissue destroying phenotype causing an anastomotic leak. There's normal flora, there's a host stress where the patient shows up to the operating room with an abnormal microbiome. Something happens, there's a proliferation of otherwise rare pathogens. You get a community of pathogenic flora with a tissue destroying phenotype, which we think is important. The phenotype that we think is important is collagenase producing organisms. This latches onto anastomosis, causing an anastomotic leak. We began to study this when I was a resident. Feels like a long, long time ago now. and we did a colon anastomosis in rats. We use mice now, but at the time, we used rats, and in one of the more simple experiments, colon resection anastomosis, and we sacrificed them on post-op day six, and we looked just to see if there was any difference in the microbiome associated with anastomotic tissue compared to the initial wild-type microbiome on post-op day zero. And what we found, strikingly, is that anastomotic surgery alone, again, these are healthy rats, no host stress, no obesity, no smoking, that anastomotic surgery causes a greater than 90% reduction in the good stuff and a 500-fold bloom in Enterococcus, or the bad stuff. But these rats didn't leak. They were all healthy. They all had fine anastomotic healing scores. We then altered the model, and we created a host stress. I devascularized the anastomosis about a centimeter proximal to where the reconnection was, and we did find that about 50% of those animals did leak. So we wondered, is this just because of the ischemia, or is this a bacterial-driven event? And so we did all the various groups, anastomosis, no anastomosis, ischemia, no ischemia, and we recovered the bacterial communities from the anastomotic tissue itself on postoperative day 6 and tested those bacterial communities for their ability to break down collagen. The red bar there, as you can see by the height of it, these bacterial communities from rats that had an anastomosis and were devascularized had a much higher ability to break down collagen than the control groups. But remember, in this red group, half of those animals leaked and half of them did not. When we stratified those by leaking versus no leaking, what we found is that communities associating with leaking anastomotic tissue always had a high collagenase activity of their bacterial communities, whereas the ones that were non-leaking did not. And what we conclude from this is that bacterial collagenase, not ischemia, discriminated between those that leak versus those that heal within the same treatment group. Now, we then went on to figure out that within that bacterial community, it was the Enterococcus organism that had been induced to make a high collagenase phenotype. And what we concluded from this paper that was presented or that was published 2 years ago is our framework for an anastomotic leak is that Enterococcus senses this host factor during surgery. In our case, it was ischemia, induces collagenases that then go to the site of anastomosis, causing anastomotic leak. Now, what we've been interested in more recently is how does the microbiome develop in the immediate postoperative period? When we were recovering these microbes, this was on post-op day 6, when the rat or mouse already had a leaking anastomotic tissue. Wouldn't it be nice to know when does this bloom of Enterococcus happen early so we can prevent it? So in this study that was done by one of the students in the lab, we took mice, fed them a normal diet, but serially sacrificed them from the first day to post-op day 24. We also did a cohort of high-fat diet mice. And the reason we did high-fat diet is because we know that diet is one of the major modulators of the microbiome. We know that high-fat foods is a major risk factor for almost any complication that we can think about. So in these studies, above is the normal diet. On the left is the stool that's expelled. On the right is the luminal contents right at the site of the anastomotic tissue. You can see that blue is Enterococcus. And what you can see in the top is that there is a blossoming of Enterococcus on post-op day 2 to 3 in the stool, not in the luminal contents on the top. But in the high-fat diet, it's robust and it stays for longer. Both in the stool and in the luminal contents, it's dramatic on post-op day 3. And this could lead us to, if we prevented this early bloom in human patients, this may in fact prevent anastomotic leak. Now, I just want to end with a little bit of new data from our lab and looking how a high-fat diet really modulates the microbiome in the post-operative mouse really made us to think about how does the microenvironment in a postoperative human affect a tumor from recurring. And as there's a lot of emerging evidence in primary tumor formation, that in most cases lymphatic and distant metastases arose from independent subclones, in essence saying that the microenvironment is what is driving recurrence. We also know that cancer cells are continuously shed into the lumen before, during, and after surgery. Finally, we know that a high-fat diet is a major risk factor for both primary tumor development and recurrence. And I just showed you data to show that mice fed a high-fat diet have an abundance of collagenolytic Enterococcus just a few days after surgery. So we've been looking at a new hypothesis, one that questions, can this microenvironment with Enterococcus influence luminal cancer cells to form tumors following colon resection? In essence, there's shed tumor cells after doing an LAR or a right colectomy. We know there's high collagenase Enterococcus there. How does the microenvironment influence that? So we created a new model in which we fed mice PUFA diet for a month. We gave them preoperative antibiotics, just like we do our human patients. We do the similar surgery. In the subset of animals, we give them now an enema of enterococcus. We inject colorectal cancer cells as an enema a day later to simulate what it would be to have shed cancer cells. And then we sacrifice them on post-op day 21 to look for tumor formation. What we've found is that tumors do form some of the time. When there's a chow diet, tumors rarely form. When there's PUFA diet but no enterococcus present, tumors form about 50% of the time. When we modulate the microbiome by increasing the population with enterococcus, tumors form about 80% of the time. When we look by fish staining, we can actually see the top is, the blue is a tumor, the bottom is the anastomotic tissue, that you can actually see enterococcus leaving the anastomosis and almost creating this chain of lakes into the tumor. So in summary, what I hope you gathered from this is that ileus and anastomotic leak and maybe even tumor recurrence are likely microbial driven. That the best preventive strategy remains, to this day, the Stone Age mechanical bowel prep with oral antibiotics, but I hope that in years to come this will change. And that further investigation will allow us to better manipulate the microbiome to allow for individualized preoperative optimization. Thank you very much for your attention. Happy to answer questions at the end.